It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy. Today's in is called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing way. The refreshing way. The refreshing way. The refreshing way.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. It is the 6th of the month. God bless each one of you. A few more days left in this year. It's time for our opening prayer. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 118, 24 and Psalm 122, verse 1. With that being said, my wife undreamed of will take us to the throne of grace. At this time. And my lovely wife is muted and she doesn't know it. Okay, let me just check.
Father in heaven, thank you for this day of creation. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to be able to come together for worship. We pray that your spirit will come and abide with us as we open up your word this morning. We ask that you will anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and as always, we pray to grow in grace and wisdom. All is asked and prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about
it's about time.
All right, brothers and sisters, it's time now for us to go right into our worship thought. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so very much for this day. We ask for your Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, and we thank you for your blessings. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time now to look at Matthew 5:9. What does Matthew 5:9 say? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Amen. All right, friends, Christ is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. So what is it telling us as we begin this chapter reading from Mount of Blessing, page 27? We need to recognize who Jesus is. Some people think of Jesus as the one who sits on the judgment seat, but we learned yesterday that his throne is called a mercy seat. Can we say amen? Some people believe that they should follow God because he's going to judge the world in righteousness, but they don't realize that he actually came to save to the uttermost those who come unto God by him. And so, my brothers and sisters, Christ wants to give us peace. Now, because he's the Prince of Peace, we need to think of him as the peacemaker. You know, there's a lot of lack of peace, brothers and sisters, a lot of lack of peace in the home. No, not even going to the home. A lot of people don't even have peace in their own hearts. Oh, my friends, isn't it a blessing when you can just rest in peace? I'm not talking about dying either. That's a blessing, too, when it's God's will for it. Blessed are the dead that which die in the Lord. But I'm just talking about having the fulfillment of let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You know, we have troubled hearts, brothers and sisters, and God wants to give you peace. He's the Prince of Peace. That's how this chapter begins. And it is his mission to restore to earth and heaven the peace that sin has broken. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, if you don't have peace right now in your life, you need to make a surrender to the Lord. Because the peace that he offers is a peace that passes all understanding. You can be confined and be at peace. You can be incarcerated and be at peace. You can be accused and be at peace. You can be going to trial and be at peace. You can be on dialysis and be at peace. You can have troubled home and be at peace. You can have wayward children and be at peace. Nothing this world has to offer can steal the peace that Christ will give. You can be on death row and be at peace. That's why it's a peace that passes understanding. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. Whoever consents to renounce sin and open his heart to the love of Christ becomes a partaker of this heavenly peace. There is no other ground of peace than this. The grace of Christ received in the heart subdues enmity. It allays strife and fills the soul with love. He who is at peace with God and his fellow man cannot be made miserable. I don't think you all heard that. I'm going to have to repeat it for the Holy Ghost's sake. He who is at peace with God and his fellow men cannot be made miserable. Have mercy. Envy will not be in his heart. Evil surmisings will find no room there. Hatred cannot exist. The heart that is in harmony with God is a partaker of the peace of heaven and will diffuse its blessed influence on all around. The spirit of peace will rest like dew upon hearts weary and troubled with worldly strife. Christ's followers are sent to the world with the message of peace. Whoever, by the quiet, unconscious influence of a holy life, shall reveal the love of Christ, whoever by word or deed shall lead another to renounce sin and yield his heart to God is a peacemaker. Praise God. If you're helping somebody, you're a peacemaker. If you're even having to warn somebody about what they're doing, the message that we have is a warning message. It's a message of love, but it's a warning because there will come a point in time where mercy will no longer plead for the guilty. God has set up a holy, wonderful law, and we can keep it. You don't have to kill. You don't have to steal. You don't have to lie. You don't have to break the Sabbath. You don't have to do any of those things, and you don't have to do any of the spiritual aspects of those things. What do I mean? Well, you might not sleep with somebody, but you might be watching pornography. The Bible says if you look upon a woman in lust, you've already committed adultery. So the law is spiritual. It encompasses everything we would do, brothers and sisters, everything we would say. That's God's law. And so God says that if we're bringing people to a closer walk with God, we're peacemakers. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The spirit of peace is evidence of their connection with heaven. The sweet savor of Christ surrounds them. The fragrance of the life, the loveliness of the character, reveal to the world the fact that they are children of God. Men take knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus. Everyone that loveth is born of God. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 1 John 4:7, Romans 8:9-14. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, and the showers upon the grass that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. Micah 5:7. My brothers and sisters, that's blessed are the peacemakers. I want to share something with you that has confused people, and I want to just go into that right now. Let me just see. We're going to have a little short Bible study about peace. Okay, we're going in our Bibles to Matthew 10:34. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Matthew 10 verse 34 says, this is Jesus. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. Now we just read about he's the Prince of Peace. We just read about if we're converted and we're helping people into the kingdom that we're peacemakers. And then we read that Jesus says, I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. Well, brothers and sisters, when you study the Bible, you must study line upon line, precept upon precept. You have to let the Bible explain itself. What is the sword, my friends? Well, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. My brothers and sisters, God's word is the sword. Jesus said, I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. He came to give us the word. Why? Because he knows that if we are living in disobedience to the word, we cannot have peace. There's a lot of people who are preaching today, a lot of people who are teaching today, a lot of people going to church today, but they don't have peace if they are outside of God's perfect will. People who know that the Roman Catholic Church is the entity that created Sunday worship into, brought it into Christianity. When you keep doing it, you don't have peace. You don't. You probably haven't figured it out yet, but you don't. People who know that when you die, you're dead, and that the living know that they shall die, the dead know not anything. But in order to, make the family feel good, in order to make sure that, we have plenty of tithe and offering coming in, they won't teach the truth. Oh, brothers and sisters, they don't have peace. Those who teach that you have to stay in any organization that is not teaching the truth, not standing up for the standards of the Lord, friends, People that teach that don't have peace, because when you confront them with the truth from the word, they get upset. That means they don't have peace. Oh, my brothers and sisters, when Jesus said, I didn't come to send peace but a sword, he came to give us his word, because the word will correct. What does the Bible say? I think it's in 2 Corinthians 3:16. Help me, Jesus. I have to go there. Got to go there because I don't remember how it starts. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 15. Oh, I remember now. That's not the right verse. But actually, I was looking for a different verse, and I'll find it. I'll just quote it for you while I'm looking for it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. 2 Timothy 3:16, not 1 Corinthians. 2 Timothy 3:16. And it's profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So, my friends, God has given us his word, okay? He has given us his word. So when Jesus came, he said, I didn't come to send peace but a sword. He knew that until that sword does surgery on the heart, we can't have peace. Therefore, a scripture that seems to, I should say that seems to contradict that verse is found in another book of another verse in John, and it's John 14:27. See, Jesus said, I didn't come to send peace but a sword. But then in John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, the world's peace is a fake peace that gives you comfort in disobedience. That's worldly peace. Jesus said, I didn't come to give you that kind of peace. That's why he said, I didn't come to send peace but a sword, because I came to give you the word. And what brings peace is when you're in harmony with God's word. Okay? Now, the operative word here is leave. In everybody can't see this, but in American Sign Language, leave is, that's how you leave something. You give something, you leave something, okay? Then you go away, okay? So, my friend, when you leave peace with somebody, that means the sword has already come and it has done its work. The word of God has been presented to the believer or to the disbeliever to convict and to convert. And when that person has accepted Jesus, they are left with peace. So he didn't come to send peace. Now notice the verb. See, we have to get the verbs right. In Matthew 10:37, he said, I didn't come to, here's sign language for send. I didn't come to send peace, okay? But he said, I leave you with peace. So in other words, Matthew 10:37 is the experience of the Christian before he accepts Christ. Because he hasn't accepted Christ, so God is sending the sword of the word. And when we accept it, Christ comes in and we are left with peace. Isn't it beautiful? So the Bible does agree with the Bible, friends. People will tell you it doesn't agree with itself, but it does. God sends us his word, brothers and sisters, and it heals us. It binds up the broken wounds. But as we accept that word, that's when it happens. As we accept the word of God in our hearts, then we have peace. And so then we are left with peace. Praise God. This is beautiful, friends. And notice what it says in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Why does it pass all understanding? Because it's not based on our circumstances. You remember how it said that anybody that is at peace with Christ cannot be miserable? Nothing can make you miserable. We need to remember that one, friends. Remember that one. I think everybody should memorize that one. Let me see. Let me get the. Oh man, I got the wrong page here. Hold on. I just want you to memorize it. That's all I'm saying. Let's see here. Let me find it. I just want to read this one more time before we wrap this up. It was that sentence about how we cannot be miserable. I just want to find it if I can. Okay, here it is. So it's going to be on page 27. But this is what it says. He who is at peace with God and his fellow men cannot be miserable. Case closed. Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 27. He who is at peace with God and his fellow men, cannot be miserable. Don't you want that peace today, my friend? Follow God. He will lead you and guide you. He'll tell you what to stay with. He'll tell you what to give up. He'll tell you who to hang around. He'll tell you who you can't hang around right now. He will tell you what you can say and what you can't say. And as you are in a humble servant-like obedience to him, you are always at peace. No man can take away our peace. What is our memorization quote? He who is at peace with God and his fellow men cannot be miserable. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful message of peace. Thank you for sending the word, because our peace comes as a result of perfect obedience to the law of God through the power of God. And then we're left with peace. Father, somebody listening here is miserable, and they now know that they just need to have peace with God and their fellow men. They need to let you bring in the peace and forgiveness that you want to give us, and help us to repent of sins we've committed so that we can be at peace with our fellow man and with you. Thank you, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, my dear brothers and sisters, we'll take a little break. We're going to hear from Sister Lenny on the subject of sympathy for our health message. And before that time, we'll have a beautiful song sung by our good friend, Roberta Pennington, a song she wrote entitled The Ministry of Healing.
When Christ was on this earth, many called him a teacher. And yes, he thought the word with divine simplicity. But as I read the scriptures and I study the gospel, I hear his ministry of healing. None who came could ever leave him feeling worthless. He laid his hands upon the afflicted and he healed them. Many times the Savior's voice was the first sound that they heard. Christ's name, the first word they've ever spoken. He came to live his life for the needy and the suffering. His life was one of constant Christ our Savior could ever leave his side.
And now we'll hear from Sister Lenny on the subject, sympathy.
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Sympathy. Great wisdom is needed in dealing with diseases caused through the mind. A sore, sick heart, a discouraged mind needs mild treatment. Many times some living home trouble, it's like a canker, eating to the very soul and weakening the life force. And sometimes it is the case that remorse for sin undermines the constitution and unbalances the mind. It is through tender sympathy that this class of invalids can be benefited. The physician should first gain their confidence and then point them to the great healer. If their faith can be directed to the true physician and they can have confidence that he has undertaken their case, this will bring relief to the mind and often give help to the body. Sympathy and tact will often prove a greater benefit to the sick than will the most skillful treatment given in a cold, indifferent way. When a physician comes to the sick bed with a listless, careless manner, looks at the afflicted one with little concern by word or action, giving the impression that the case is not one requiring much attention, and then leaves the patient to his own reflections, he has done that patient positive harm. The doubt and discouragement produced by his indifference will often counteract the good effect of the remedies he may prescribe. If physicians could put themselves in the place of one whose spirit is humbled and who will weaken by suffering and who longs for words of sympathy and assurance, they would be better prepared to appreciate his feelings. When the love and sympathy that Christ manifested for the sick is combined with the physician's knowledge, his very presence will be a blessing. Frankness in dealing with a patient inspires him with confidence and thus proves an important aid to recovery. There are physicians who consider it wise policy to conceal from the patient the nature and cause of the disease from which he is suffering. Many, fearing to excite or discourage a patient by stating the truth, will hold out false hopes of recovery and even allow a patient to go down to the grave without warning him of his danger. All this is unwise. It may not always be safe or best to explain to the patient the full extent of his danger. This might alarm him and retard or even prevent recovery. Nor can the whole truth always be told to those whose ailments are largely imaginary. Many of these persons are unreasonable and have not accustomed themselves to exercise self-control. They have peculiar fancies and imagine many things that are false in regard to themselves and to others. To them, these are very real, and those who care for them need to manifest constant kindness and unwearied patience and tact. If these patients were told the truth in regard to themselves, some will be offended, others discouraged. Christ said to his disciples, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." John 16:12. But though the truth may not always be spoken on all occasions, it is never necessary or justifiable to deceive. Never should the physician or the nurse stoop to provocation, which is lying. He who does this places himself where God cannot cooperate with him, and in forfeiting the confidence of his patients, he is casting away one of the most effective human aids to their restoration. I know a lot of physicians that just don't have sympathy. You know, they don't have sympathy for their patients. You know, sometimes they don't look at them, you know, eye to eye. They talk and look away, and it's just sad. It's like if they've never been through it, they have no idea what that person is going through, no idea. We must sympathize with others and offer any help that we can, because by not doing so, we can actually make that individual worse, and I mean worse. I had a physician one time. I was admitted to the hospital because I couldn't get my breath. I was admitted to the hospital. My physician that normally would see me was out of town. Then they sent another one. He come to me. He did all these tests. The test came back. He come to my room at 11 o'clock at night, and he's screaming my name, Mrs. Smith, Mrs. Smith, all your tests came back. They're all negative. I think it's all in your head. I was shocked, and I said, wow. And I said, Lord, have mercy. I called my husband, told him they was discharging me. They said they're going to discharge me. I called him. He called the doctor, and he's asking him, did you do this test? Did you do test? Did you do? He said, we did everything. She's going to go home tomorrow. She needs to talk to someone, like a counselor. He says, did you do pulmonary studies? And he said, oh, I did not do pulmonary studies. Well, don't you think you should do that first before you discharge my wife? So they did pulmonary studies. They take me down to x-ray. They did the pulmonary studies. I can't breathe. I'm trying to breathe in this tube, and I can't do it. All of a sudden, they go in, and I'm looking at them. They're saying, get her upstairs. Get her upstairs now. And they put me on oxygen. He comes back. Now, he's feeling like he's sorry for saying what he said to me. And I'm listening to him. He's talking. I'm listening to him. And I said, he said, oh, we're not going to send you home. We have to continue to do this pulmonary studies test. And I said to him, do you still think it's all in my head? He said, oh, no. No, it's not on your head. We have to be very careful, even as people, even if we're not a physician, to listen to what we say before we say things to people. Because I'm telling you, it can be very, very devastating to someone's health.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This morning's health segment is coming from the Ministry of Healing, page 99. May blessings come to you as you sympathize with others. Thank you, and God bless you.
You know, I was, I just love the Lord and love how the Word, you know, blesses us. And, you know, when it was talking about Sister Lenny, some people would have a hard time with the part of it where it says we can't always tell all the truth. I mean, on the surface, that sounds a little deceptive, but mm-hmm. you know, it goes right to the Bible. Jesus said, I have many things to share. You just can't bear them right now.
Right.
So that statement is not a statement that permits deception. It just helps us understand
mm-hmm.
we can't share sometimes what people will not understand. And so God in his mercy withholds it, but that doesn't mean you're deceiving. So, you know, it's really, really beautiful. It's really amazing. And I remember there was a book. We actually listened to it as a ministry, A Thousand Shall Fall. And I don't know if those of you who listened to it with us, it was on a Friday night. Remember that family in Germany that stood up against the Nazis and, you know, were trying to follow God and keep the Sabbath and so on and so forth. But there was a time where the Gestapo came to her house. She was hiding Jews in the house, but they came to her house and they basically asked, are you hiding Jews in the house? And she would not answer. She just opened the door and gestured for them if they wanted to search. And they said, no, tell us, are you hiding Jews in the house? See, they wanted her to be able to say that she's doing something that she's not. And then if they caught her, she would be, you know, have a major problem for lying to them. So she just gestured for them to search the house if they would like to. She said nothing. She just opened the door wide and got out of the way in case they wanted to come in. And they finally just shook their heads and walked away. So she did not lie, and she did not, you know, give out any unnecessary information. They can go in and search if they wanted to. You know, so the bottom line is God will show us what to do and how to do it so that we don't have to deceive. And oftentimes the best answer sometimes is silence, because anything we would say could cause some problems in some way. So I just love the Lord and wanted to just say that. That really blessed me. The whole thing did. It's time for sharing and caring time. And we're going to start with Facebook. We got Sister Vicky out of Georgia saying good morning. We've got Brother Peyton out of North Carolina saying good morning to us. We've got Sister Glorious also saying good morning out of Virginia. And on the call, we have represented brothers and sisters, Ohio, Ohio again, Ohio again. We have Pennsylvania, we have Delaware, 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 and Delaware. We have Missouri. We have Oklahoma. We learned yesterday we had more than one from Oklahoma because one person called another person and three weighed them in. And we also found out we had more than one out of Michigan because that person did the same thing. Thank you all for your care in doing so. And we welcome everyone. So we've got Oklahoma on the line. We've got Iowa on the line. We have South Carolina. We have Michigan. We have Georgia. And we have our dear Sister Kevin all the way from the beautiful island of Bermuda. Let's not get envious, folks. Remember, when you're at peace, you can't be envious, right? That's what we learned this morning, but she's over there basking in the sun over there in Bermuda, but she's actually on her computer. So, Sister Kevin, welcome. We're praying for you and your mother. We hope your time together is wonderful. If your mother is listening, mother in Israel, we love you over here in America, and we just wish you God's richest blessings, and we thank God. You're one of the few, how do you say the word? Is it centennials? Is that the word? That we are aware of. May not know you personally, but it's not a lot of people that are 100 years old and above. So we praise God for you. All right, then. If there's anyone, press star 6 if you'd like to share anything. And I don't know if there's a way for Sister Cabin to do that, too. I don't know, but if you're welcome to, if you know how to. I don't know how to. We're going to go to the phone lines at this time. If there's anyone, just press star 6. And we have our dear mother in Israel, Sister Winston. We have Sister Desiree. We also have Sister Wanda. And anyone else, just go ahead and press star 6. It's going to start with Sister Winston. Good morning, mother in Israel.
Good morning, Pastor. I just want to thank you for the messages that God sends us through you. But I have a question about me. When I'm always saying how blessed I am because I am blessed. You know, God blesses me with my health. He blesses me with the things that I need and everything like that. But I was wondering if me talking about how blessed I am, should I not talk about how blessed I am? I know that God, you know, he has no respect of person, and what he does for me, he would do for anybody else. And because he blesses me, you know, when somebody asks me, I'll say I'm blessed. I thank the Lord that, you know, for the blessings he has bestowed upon me. And I say that a lot, and I don't know if people are offended by that or not. So I was wondering if it's, should I not talk about how blessed I am?
I will say it this way. From Genesis to Revelation, I have never found a single verse that says we should not talk about the blessings of God and what he has done for us. Contrary wise, I read that we are saved by the testimonies of others. In Revelation, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, that doesn't mean that you will have some people that will be envious, but they would be envious whether you said it or not, because when you're saying it, you're inviting them to have the same peace that you have, to serve the same God that you have. And everybody's not ready to do that. And so because they're not blessed, they get mad. It's almost like, think about it like this. The devil doesn't change. He got mad at Christ. Why? Because Christ was favored. Then he got in Esau. Why did Esau kill, I'm sorry, Cain. He got in his brother Cain. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because God blessed Abel. And Cain would not do what was right. God said, I would bless you too, but he didn't want to do what was right. So he got upset and killed. So that doesn't mean that we won't have some people that get upset, but that is not to keep us from speaking the blessings of the Lord. Now, in all things and in all times and in all circumstances, the Spirit of God is to lead us as we speak. God may, for whatever reason, tell me I'm about to give a testimony, and the Lord might say, not today, Shalom. And then I will say, okay, Lord, for whatever reason, not today. You might be prepared to be silent, and the Holy Spirit said, you better not be silent. So we always leave everything to the Holy Spirit. But Sister Winston, absolutely, God wants us as a general rule to speak of his blessings.
Yes, well, thank you. I just have one other question. Proverbs 16, verse 18, where it talks about pride. I just didn't want the people to think that I'm proud of because God blesses me. So could you kind of speak on that, Proverbs 16 and verse 18, about pride goes before destruction.
Yes, ma'am.
What is the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, so pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Haughtiness is when you think yourself above other people, and that goes before a fall. So, you know, just because we speak of the Lord. See, when you say, here's the thing. Nebuchadnezzar is an example of how we should not do it. He said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? You see, but when we say what David said, it is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. We're praising God. We're giving God the praise. You're saying, every time I've heard you speak, you're talking about how God has blessed you. You're not talking about how successful you've been and how awesome you are and how smart you are and, you know, and all those things. You always give the glory to God every time I have heard you. So I don't think that we have witnessed in your testimonies a prideful or haughty spirit.
Well, thank you. And please keep me in the family in prayer. And everybody,
amen.
Bless me.
You too. You too. All right. God bless you. And we do have Sister Cavan. She was able to get on. We'll just get everybody in order. And it goes to Sister Desiree. Good morning, Sister Desiree.
Good morning, Pastor Flemings and Sister Maria and everyone on the call. Here lately I've been hearing, and it's been unsettling every time I hear it. And don't know why, but every time I hear it. But I wanted to ask the question on this. It says, in Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. What is everybody saying when they say, I'm not perfect, I'm not perfect? It used to didn't bother me, but it's so unsettling now to my spirit. I said, what are they saying? And they say, I'm not perfect, you're not, you know, I'm not perfect, I'm not perfect. And even I have said that. But I said, what is God saying here? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And I said, Lord, this is what you say. What does this actually mean? I've heard it explained, but I'm hearing that a whole lot. I'm not perfect, I'm not perfect. Is an excuse not to do to it, to at least press for the mark?
Amen. That thing, you know what?
Maybe I just answered my own question.
I was about to say it. You answered your own question. See, the Bible doesn't say,
I didn't mean to do that.
That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's how the Holy Spirit works. So here's the thing. The Bible does not say. It tells us what to strive for and what to be. It doesn't say that we brag about it or declare it, that that's where we are. It didn't say, mm-hmm. declare that you are perfect. Thou shalt declare thyself perfect. There's no verse in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that says, thou shalt declare thyself perfect. But God does say, be perfect. And so the bottom line is that means we can teach from the Bible that we do not. What is perfection? It is surrendering your life to God and not living in sin. That is biblical perfection. It doesn't mean that you're never tempted. See, some people think perfection is an escape from temptation. We're only going to escape temptation when this mortal has put on immortality, okay? But there will be temptation, but that we don't have to sin. None of us have to sin today. What is sin? The transgression of the law. What's the law? The Ten Commandments. Do you have to lie today? Do you have to kill today? Do you have to steal today? And I'm talking about the letter of the law. Now let's go to the spirit of the law. Do you have to look at somebody and lust after them? Do you have to hate somebody? Do you have to love something in your house or your car more than you love God? Do you have to disobey your parents today? The answer is no. So that means that when we are living in Christ, we are in a state of perfection. All God is saying is stay in a state of surrender and obey, and we can.
Okay.
And so
thank
when
you.
But when we speak, we say what you said, I press toward the mark. You don't ever say, I've arrived. You say, I press toward the mark, because it's a daily
right.
pressing. The temptations of
right.
tomorrow will be different than the temptations today.
Yeah.
Preach the
yeah.
word, Sister Desiree. You're on the right track.
That just came out. I don't know. I wasn't even thinking. Oh, my gosh. And then it just been irking me, and I said, is this just it must be. And it didn't bother me before, but here lately, these past days, weeks, months, I don't know when it happened, but it happened. And I just said, when I got up early this morning and it just came and just to ask you about that, and I said, why am I so bothered by it? Why am I so unsettled in my spirit? And I just said, is it giving us an excuse, and just what the Holy Spirit said, not to
yeah.
press for them? Like you said, it says, be ye therefore. You didn't say, I am. You're right. It says, be. We're to be. And at least attempt to, because the more, it used to say, you practice, it would say, the perfect, you know, it was an old saying, but
practice makes perfect. Mm-hmm.
Right, practice.
Yeah,
makes
I mean,
perfect.
But it's a state of being. It right now today, if Desiree has asked God to forgive all her sins, and if she is not holding any bitterness toward anybody, and if she's wronged somebody, that she has apologized, in God's eyes, you are perfect. That's what justification is. And so as you go through this day, you're not going to walk through the day, I'm the perfect one, because as soon as you say that, the devil's going to bring a temptation that you might fall, because that's a Nebuchadnezzar statement. Is not this great Babylon that I have built? So in other words, if we say, is not this holy character that I have built, you know what I mean?
Right.
Then we're
right.
in trouble
okay.
when we say that. You know. So we
okay.
just say what the
okay.
Bible says. I press toward the mark, you know, for the prize okay. of the high calling. But God does tell us what that prize is. Be ye therefore perfect. So we should, I think sometimes, I think you're right. When some people say, I'm not perfect, they don't talk about the striving and the pressing toward the mark. We spend more time talking about our failures than we do talking about God's power to help us. And so we want to watch that. All right, Sister Desiree,
okay.
I'm going to go ahead and go to the next caller. Did you have anything else before we do?
No, I did, but it's okay. We can go ahead. I got it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. God bless you. All right. We're going to go to Sister Wanda. Good morning, Sister Wanda.
Good morning, and God bless. And I'm going to try to be real quick with this. Blessings, everyone, and thank you for the word. You know, I just want to really quick piggyback on my sister, because two scriptures came to my mind, the mother in Israel. And, you know, God says in Psalms 107, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful wait. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his wonderful works, for his goodness and his wonderful works toward the children of man. So, you know, we are commissioned to praise the Lord. Someone, you would ask them how you're doing, and they would say, I'm blessed every day. And, you know, that blesses my heart every time I hear. And sometimes it throws me off because I forget that that's what they're going to say. But they say it every time. And in a store, a worker that smokes and that is not truly committed to God, but yet the fact that she says, if you say, how you doing, she say, blessed. I'm like, and it throws me off. And it blesses my heart. So, you know, and then in Psalms 34, you know, it says, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So when we magnify and glorify God, the humble that hears it, that is, that makes their heart glad. So, you know, just continue on, you know, and we ourselves be humble at all the goodness that God has bestowed upon us, not proud. But anyway, and then my statement to your message was my prayer that I'm praying for. I haven't even attained it yet. And I'm praying, God, I want to attain it so, so much, which you've read, but also in Psalms 119, verse 165. I mean, 65. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. God bless. Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you. All right, we're going to go to Sister Kevin. Good morning, Sister Kevin.
Good morning. Good morning. This is new to me because I've never used this feature before, and I don't think it was available. But I just wanted to thank everyone for their prayers. I had a beautiful trip over. God gave me opportunities to minister for him with people who were traveling on the flight with me. I mean, it was just awesome. I even got to sit with someone who is a family member, and I'd never met them before. And it was just interesting how God orchestrated this whole thing. But my mother is well. I had my first incident this morning. She fell on the floor. And I said, Mommy, my first watch, and you fell. I said, everybody's going to be upset with me. But we turned it into a session of learning. And just listening to what has been shared already this morning, it just confirms that, you know, we are growing Christians. I explained to her that the bell that I had on the bed for her, she must ring it so that I can assist her. When she doesn't follow through with that, things like this happen. And I told her that it doesn't hurt to ring the bell. It will save her from having experiences on the floor. But since we were on the floor, we were just having a good time talking about God's mercy and his grace and how this could have even turned out to be something entirely different if God was not under everything, keeping us supported. He is the wind beneath our wings. So continue to be with me as I care for my mother over the next 30 days or so, that I will be used by him to minister to her spirit, to encourage her, and to keep my family, who are not Christians, focused on not the here and now, but the eternity to come. I want them to see Jesus because he is everything, and he wants us to lift our eyes off the concerns of the world, even our health, and place everything. I said, Mom, this is not a good feeling, I know, but guess what? God's got us. She said, well, how are you going to get me up off the floor? I said, I don't know, but I'm praying, and I said, God will show us what to do. So I made her comfortable on the floor, and I called my brother, who came, and the two of us got her back in bed safely. So God is so good. I mean, there is no weapon formed against us. I don't care what it is that will prosper. All we have to do is to trust God. So thank you all. Continue to pray for me. I go need your prayers. And I am praying for you. So I'm glad that we can communicate like this, you know.
Yeah, it's very, very clear.
I'm amazed. I didn't even think I was going to be able to get on this morning, but God is in the plan. When you do your part, he opens up doors, because I haven't used this since February or April when we were on, and I just opened up the computer, and here we go. So God is good. Take care. God bless all of you.
God bless you. I want to ask you a real, real quick question. Are you available? I mean, you can be. Can you use WhatsApp just for outside of the broadcast, calling, talking?
Yes, I can use WhatsApp.
Okay, okay.
And
at some point, we'll reach out to you.
Okay, okay.
Oh, okay. Awesome. All right, we've got a few other callers in. Let's go ahead and go to, we got Desiree, then we've got Sister Donna, we've got Brother Raymond. Sister Desiree.
Amen. Okay, you were in the chapter of the Beatitudes, and in verse 19, you know the verse where it says, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but which commandment is that one talking about? The least? Is it talking about the ones in the Beatitudes, or is it talking about the Ten Commandments?
The Ten.
Okay.
The Ten Commandments. Yes.
Okay.
The Ten Commandments is always the foundation. There are other laws, but they are the foundation of our moral character is the Ten Commandments. And
okay.
I think that if you keep reading on, it'll even talk about them. It's in this same sermon that Jesus mentions adultery and other things. He mentions some of the ten.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
All right.
So much.
Blessings. Uh-huh, you're welcome. All right. We've got Sister Donna.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor and Maria. I wanted to comment on the young lady who's visiting her mom and how she fell. And I just wanted to give her a process when that happens, and she can hopefully teach her mom this. I am a matter of balance coach, and that is where we help elderly in their home who are living alone to be able to get out of situations such as falling on the floor. As long as they're not hurt, all they need to do is crawl to a stationary chair. If they can get up on their hands and knees, just crawl over to something that is stable that they can pull themselves up on and sit in until they totally collect their balance. Okay? Thank you.
All right, then. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Amen. Medical missionary work has all kinds of different flavors, doesn't it? And all kinds of different wonderful lessons we can learn. All right, we're going to go to Brother Raymond. Good morning, Brother Raymond.
Hey, Pastor. Good morning. Good morning, all. Listen, I'm not going biblical, but I guess in a benevolent state. Pastor, I just felt compelled this morning to laud my sister, who I believe is on, for introducing me to you. And you know all that you and your lovely wife, Maria, have done for me. And I just so immensely appreciate that. I want to say that, you know, I listen to the various people that have the that remove the trepidations and come on and speak, because a lot of times it's just not easy to speak in a forum of which you don't know people, and some people are just most people are uncomfortable just speaking to more than one person at a time. But those that do a wonderful job. I want to say that when you say Delaware, 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 and Delaware, I know all of those folks personally, and they're awesome people. When you say Pennsylvania, I know who Pennsylvania is. That's
Amen.
Another awesome person. Now, I will culminate with this. Pastor, have you ever watched a TV show and they get you to the height of euphoria and they say, we'll be right back after a commercial?
Yes.
Well, when sometimes I'm listening to you, and of course you're always awesome, but I may have to get up, I'm old now, run to the bathroom, you'll say Sister Lenny's coming up or Sister Donna's coming up, and like, but it's commercial time, so I'll run, but I'll run back. They're awesome. But that Sister
Praise
Lenny,
Lord.
let me say this. For the avocation of the diet that you talk about and is God's real diet, if you ever want to partake of morsels of that diet, Sister Lenny is the creme la creme. And Pastor, that sister has the most soothing, calm spirit of anybody that I've ever encountered. Thank you for Lenny, for Donna, for Desiree. The other folks probably wouldn't want me to mention their names, but for everybody in the forum, and I know I've taken a lot of time, God bless, and just, my sister would say, tuta o nana.
All right, then. Well, brother, we appreciate you. Thank you for joining. We need more godly men listening to this broadcast and sharing with others, and we appreciate you as one of the soldiers of Christ. Amen. All right, friends, we'll turn it over to my lovely wife to close us out at this time.
Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, loving Lord, we thank you for this time to be able to have worship and fellowship one with each other. We thank you for your spirit always teaching us, leading us to the truth, and we pray that we will continue to gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We thank you for traveling mercies that was granted onto Sister Kevin. We pray that you would be with her mother. We know her mom is at the age of about 102 years old. So we thank you that her fall was nothing serious. We thank you that all was well with her. And we pray that you will use Sister Kevin at this time as she continues providing care for her mother during these next 30 days. And we pray that she will be able to minister not just to her mom, but to other family members and to the others that you may place in her path as she is there. We pray that you will touch those hearts to the ones that she was able to minister to as she was traveling, making her way to see her family. And we just pray that seeds were planted and that they will blossom and grow as you would have it to be. We thank you for Sister Winston. We ask that you will be with her and her family, continue to be with her health, and bless her, Lord, as she continues to study out your word and continues to grow in her spiritual walk with you. We pray that you will be with Sister Lori asking prayers as she is going to a housing class this morning and is requesting prayer for that to be successful in her endeavors. And we ask that you will bless her in those efforts. We pray that you will be with all of us, Laura, because we all are in need of prayer. We want to continue to lift the Ross Scott and Vance Farrell families up in prayer during their time of loss for both of these loved men and their families. And we just ask that you would just bless each one in a special way and continue to be with them. I want to offer again special prayer for Sister Odessa, asking that you will be with her, Lord, and help her, especially during this time of need. Please give her strength, peace, and joy. And we pray that you would be with other petitions that have gone forth. We know that you are answering petitions as they need to be answered. And we need to just wait on you because you are a God whose timing is always perfect. We thank you for being with us on this day. And we pray that as we go about this day of service, may we remember to just service unto others as we allow your spirit to lead, guide, direct, and instruct us. For all things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I do have the right word. It's centenarian. That's when someone is at least 100, centenarian. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship.